Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Masterclass. And today we're just going to discuss the importance of adapting your analysis to conditions and also the market. Now, we've touched off on a few of these points in the past, but just to bring it all together one thing that I think is a great tool for punters to understand. Paul Daly joins us from ratingstowin.com.au. How are you, Paul?
Yeah, good morning, Nadia. Good morning, listeners. Certainly a great topic, Nadia. And look, it's something that you could just go on and cover over several sessions, but there's so much to it. But we'll try to sort of give a little bit of clarity to some of these points that you want to talk about today.
Okay, well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about a preliminary analysis that we all do. So we'll all sit down and rate a race, and we're sort of getting a guide on where each horse should sit in a market. But it is only a preliminary analysis, and even though that we are quite confident in our initial thoughts, there are a lot of other factors that need to be taken into consideration that we do not know until we get close to a race.
Yeah, and that makes betting early a problematical exercise. I mean, if days gone by where we had no markets until, 9 a.m. Saturday, IAS would sort of offer you a market over the phone, and you could get on to win substantial amounts if you wanted to. But essentially, the business all took place, 20, 25 minutes out from the race. So by that stage, we had a lot of other information to play with and to consider, in terms of track patterns and the way in which the races have been run and won. If there was any lane bias, you had a little bit of an indication about that. So you could sort of hone that additional intel into what it is that you're going to do and sort of react accordingly. Whereas now we're sort of, being asked or being presented with an opportunity to bet, days out, weeks out sometimes from races, and markets have obviously consolidated with a lot of the early money in terms of, the hobby punters, because the pros aren't betting early. Mm. And so, we're now sort of dealing with an entirely different marketplace, and often you'll see horses well backed pre-post, then drift back out to those sort of prices on Betfair and whatnot as the real money starts to flow in and shape the market. You can have a preliminary guide, and it's good to obviously know what you think is the right price, but you've got to be flexible enough to be able to consider other aspects as well.
We brought in a factor such as the weather, and this is probably the most common one that across all boards all punters know about. Like, I know myself, I don't like betting on deteriorating tracks because, of course, you've done your analysis in the morning based on a certain circumstance, and you do have to pretty much start fresh when these other factors come into play.
Yeah, and deteriorating tracks are really difficult to handle sometimes because, as you say, just by nature, they are deteriorating and patterns change very quickly, and jockeys make decisions based on what they perceive to be the situation. Weather is actually one of the first things I actually look at for a meeting before doing any form. So I'm looking at the weather. I'm looking at forecast wind, speed and direction. Obviously wind becomes an issue once it starts getting up to a certain level. It'll affect different tracks and different, differently across the course. And you've got to understand, historically what that does. So it's all very well to know that there's a wind or it's blowing this way or that way or this is how fast it is, but you've got to be able to interpret that and in a meaningful way. And that takes a while to actually hone that skill. So it's important. Rail position is obviously very important as well. Looking at historical patterns and understanding how that's likely to play out. So you're going into a meeting with some sort of expectation of how it's going to play and how that could affect your analysis. And that'll obviously have an impact on the types of horses that you have in your market or hard in your market and which ones you're thinking that you want to be on and not be on. And that can change as well. So you've got to be, once again, able to adapt to the circumstances that do present themselves throughout the day.
We talk about market influence, and we have talked about the importance of being able to read a market and just the betting that does come and just that market intelligence. This is an important one. Like, I know myself on a personal note saw one in Adelaide on Saturday, for instance, a horse that I liked in Manuel in the last, where, this horse started, I think, about $4 in pre-post markets, got out to $5.50 before it was heavily backed into a quote of $3.30. So it's looking at fluctuations and working out what are the ones that we want to take much notice in and which ones don't. Like when you find those drifts, a few hours before a race, that they're not a true indication of where the market's going to end up.
Yeah, look, I think punters can serve themselves well by totally ignoring what occurs in the days leading up to, say, a Saturday race meeting. So, you know, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's rubbish. There's no money for these horses. It doesn't matter whether they're $20, it's $10 or $5. There's virtually no money. I can make a horse go from, you know, $10 to $5 with probably $500,
exactly,
betting across certain accounts. So it means nothing. All of the corporates are geared into an algorithm that essentially self-perpetuates an outcome. So, you know, one goes off, the other follows. And so no money being laid, it's just that the price is going off. So you're better off ignoring all of the information that you hear about that type of thing and focusing on what takes place after 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and especially what takes place probably in the last 20 minutes or so before a race during official betting. That's when the pros get and they show their hand. And I know myself, my betting is very late in the piece, after obviously having the benefit of that extra intel that you get from markets and seeing what happens. So they're the fluctuations, I think, that are a lot more key. And, you know, also what happens with things like the exchange, you know, late in the betting, how that marries up against what's going on in, say, the official betting itself, and whether there's any particular concerning premiums available, say, on an exchange for a particular runner versus what's in the market.
You can have a horse priced anywhere across a wide range of prices, because let's be honest, a horse doesn't tend to rate consistently. There are sometimes many, many lengths between a horse's peak through a prep and where they're actually at the moment. So you can have a horse somewhat in that range, and it's determining where you actually plot a horse is the important factor, where sometimes you don't actually find that out until you start to get the real market intelligence in to get a gauge on where that horse is at within its rating range.
Absolutely, Nadia, and a great way, or a great example of that could be mat related. So you might have a couple of runners or a particular runner that you've marked at whatever price it is based on a rating that they've produced. You know, it can range, you know, between that rating and say a higher figure, and you've got some sort of query over whether or not the horse will get in, or whether it'll race on speed today, or whether it'll go back to its normal pattern. And suddenly there's big money for a horse, in the actual official betting. What that's really telling you, or it's giving you some sort of confirmation that the market's anticipating that this horse is going to improve towards that level. I mean, a lot of it depends on the quality, the prices that you produce overall. But, you know, the market's telling you certain things. And so you need to take heed of that. There was a good example of a horse on Saturday, Legless Burr, Caulfield, in race three. Yeah, it was very easy in the betting, in official betting. Okay, the excuse was that the horse was lame, and I'm not suggesting the market would have been able to predict that, but, you know, it was very easy on bet there. So there was collective intelligence there telling you that this horse wasn't going to run, to expectations that people might have.
Hartnell was another classic example.
Yeah, well, Hartnell was another good example too. I mean, there's so many of them, and look, sometimes I make the mistake with anyone else, I suppose, that, you get caught up in your own opinion and you decide to ignore it and you pay the price, and other times it goes your way. But ultimately you've got to be at least willing to accept that there is market intelligence there that you want to be taking notice of, especially if the horses are queries around things like fitness, or, you know, the horse hasn't raced for a while and you're not quite sure, you know, what penalty you should apply to it for fitness. Or a horse, might be resuming for a spell. And now, another great example, I've said this many times, you're much better off backing horses that firm in the betting, and that have then supporting, money come for them on Betfair, than you are ignoring those horses or backing those horses that drift in the market when they're resuming, because the profit outcomes are drastically different. So for me, if I'm backing a first up horse, I'm always looking for that support, or I'm always looking for that lead. And the other thing that punters can sort of do is, understand what type of stables do what with horses. You know, some stables, when horses blow in the betting, it's not significant. Others, it's absolutely paramount.
And also, I suppose the old chestnut is we don't have to bet in every race. Look, we can sit there and we can rate across an 8-9 race program. There are some races which, you just have not much spread between, say 6 or 7 horses. And it is quite possible that you might just sit a race out.
Oh, look, that happens all the time, Nadia. I mean, across the weekend, I bet in, on Saturday, I'm talking about, I bet into 5 races on Saturday. I bet into 1 race on Sunday. Yeah, you've got to pick your mark. I don't think betting into every race is the answer. If punters are looking to have a little bit of action or have a little bit of fun, and that's the way they treat their betting, and they're not really trying to win long term, then, sure. I mean, if you're betting small and it doesn't really matter, then that's fine. But, if you're trying to win at this game, you can't just turn up to every event and expect to win at it. There are, each race has its own, level of complexity and if you like, challenges based on different factors that, you know, the horses present.
Wonderful, Paul. We'll talk again later with another podcast reviewing the weekend's action.
Thanks, Nadia.
Paul Daly from Ratings to Win with this week's Masterclass.